We talked about the dark night of the soul last week. So, of my bag of tricks, which is going to help you in the dark night of your soul? A long reach or a short reach? You want to go around the corner? Go around the corner. But what helps you in the dark night of your soul? That's actually what Psalm 16 is about. Let's stand. Let me read. It's the pathway out of the dark night of our soul. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god will multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Father, focus our eyes on your light. Allow us to see where your light shines in our dark places. Enable us to see Christ Jesus, to hear his voice, to follow our good shepherd, to find our shelter in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You already know that we've lived a number of years of our life without any electricity. So we are familiar to the use of these devices. But I will say, the LED has transformed what you can do in dark places. I wish we had them in the time that we needed them. But from my years, our years in Africa, there is a image that I think that this psalm speaks to and opens up. I have referred in the past to the fact that in my younger years, I loved mountain climbing. I still love it, but my body doesn't. So I'm a little more limited. But I used to climb Mount Kenya sometimes multiple times a year. And we didn't always get the weather right. You couldn't always plan your schedule around the weather. I don't know why that is, but it usually is. And one time, as we were hiking towards the summit, it started raining about the time that we got on the trail. And at that elevation, even though you're right on the equator, at that elevation, the rain was icy, and it rained all day. My pack was soaked, my head was soaked, my feet were soaked, my pants were soaked, I was soaked. And as the day turned to night, the temperature drops about 30 and then 40 degrees. And you know what's happening. I'm starting to get cold, and there's no dry place, and it's still raining. And I looked around, and at that particular elevation, although you're going to a high peak, there is no shelter. We couldn't reach the night shelter that was only a little farther away. There were places, but at that point, I couldn't set a tent up. There was no dry place to set it up. The ground was soaked and soggy. But slightly ahead of me, I saw an overhanging rock. And I looked under the overhang of that rock, and it was dry. I said, there is my shelter. There is my refuge. It didn't take the rain away. It didn't take the cold away. But it gave me a refuge. And that's how the psalm starts. And I want you to see it. Without God's preservation, I am helpless. And so the psalmist says, preserve me, for in you I take refuge. So I said that this psalm was going to lead us into the journey or the steps of dealing with the darkness of our night soul. Step one, make Christ your refuge. Don't think that somehow the rain's going to stop. Don't think that the night is not going to come. Don't think that the temperature is not going to fall. But recognize that in Christ you have a refuge, a shelter, a place to flee. So the psalmist says, I will make God my refuge. In the dark night of your soul, determine to make Christ your refuge. And speak as the psalmist speaks. And say, without God's preservation, I am helpless. There is nothing I can do. A refuge, you see, is not the same as being removed. Sometimes that's all a refuge is. And that is the refuge, is to be removed. Or to have the pain or the sorrow or the difficulty removed. But sometimes, most often, God simply says, I will be with you in the darkness of the night. In the darkness of the day, I will protect you. I will keep you. And it was true. When we walked on our pathways in our very rural village in Kenya, the light would make sure that the snakes went the other way. And I was glad for the light. I was glad to be able to shine it at my feet. Not in somebody's face, but at my feet. God says, I will be your refuge. And when you're walking a pathway of snakes, you got to figure out how to get them to go and where your feet should go. God says, I will be your refuge. So my confession is that God is my Lord and He knows my need. It's not simply that I have a, as we knew them in Kenya, the very British term, a torch, a flashlight. But God knows my needs and He shines His light upon me because He is my Lord. He is sufficient. And my sufficiency is only found in Him. Well, verse 3. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, in the dark night of your soul, you are not alone. You have the shelter of the Almighty, and you have the people of God that are around you. Sometimes we distance ourselves from the shelter of the Almighty. We distance ourselves from the shelter and the encouragement of God's people, and no wonder we feel alone. We are. So the pathway out of the darkness is to recognize both God's shelter and God's people. Make your delight in both of them. And He will shine upon you. Now, all right? God's light above. Sometimes danger. Take that torch down to your feet. That's where the people are. That's where we all are. So God's simply saying, listen, I want you to embrace me. I embrace you. In the night, secondly, in the night of our confusion, we have to stop and recognize God's choice. So here's the confusion, verse 4. The sorrows of those who run after another god will multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out. That's a determination. Struggle with it, but it's a determination to make. And I won't take their names on my lips. What is God saying? He's saying in the dark of our night, we are confused. We are confused with choices. We can choose to listen to the desires, the voices, the interests of those around us. And our hearts speak those out. Or we can choose God's voice. So we have a choice. Those competing desires are always around me. And it's often in the darkness of my nights and my soul's night that I get confused. I no longer can make a right choice. Maybe I say I know what the choice is, but I can't make it. I just can't bring myself to do it. So the psalmist says, false gods. They are attractive, but I cannot be attracted by them. I can't pursue them. I can't fantasize about them. I must despise them. I must walk away from them. I have to stop diminishing God's good gifts. I need to lift up God's good gifts. So the drink offerings, the psalmist says, of blood, I will not pour out. I won't take their names on my lips. I won't let them into my heart. In the dark night of in the soul's dark night, in your dark night, in your dark day, refocus your mind. Put it on God's gift, not on what you feel is missing in life. You might have wondered why in the world anybody in their right mind would climb Mount Kenya in the rain. I had friends of mine that asked the same thing. One, in fact, said, the next time you invite me up here, just remind me I can beat myself with a rubber hose. And it won't be any more painful. So why'd I do it? Because there was a summit that I wanted to see. I wanted to see the grandeur and the beauty of the summit. The incredible depth of the valley that was out in front of me. From the amazing height, I wanted to climb over the snowpack and get to the top. And that's our journey. And if you feel the rain and you only focus on the pain, you will never summit. And there is amazing view at the summit. Go for it. And so, step two, when you're confused, recognize God's choice. He has something better. He has a purpose that's out there. Third step, in our nights, I need to choose. Not just to recognize God's choice, but I actually need to choose it. So let's look at verse 5. I choose Christ. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Now, the psalmist has it going both ways. The psalmist is choosing, deciding to choose God's goodness. But he's also recognizing that he is chosen. He's chosen by God. He's been given a gift. So this thing, this choosing goes two ways. Yes, I am chosen of God, but I also need to choose God. It's true for our children. True for our children's parents. I can pray that our children will come to a deep walk and will invite the presence of Christ in their lives, that they might shine. It's also true for you, and it's true for me. Don't be without a battery. Your light doesn't shine. So I have to choose it. I have to actually embrace God's purpose and God's choice. I choose Christ because He has chosen me. He holds my outcomes, and because He holds my outcomes, I know I can trust Him that they will be pleasant. And you say, no, wait a minute, they're not. I've experienced pain, and they're not always pleasant. My relationships are not always happy relationships. Sometimes they end in pain. They do. But remember where we started. God is a shelter. He's a refuge. I find my refuge in Him, trusting that in Him there will be pleasure and joy. My journey is not over. Until I'm in the presence of the King. And at the presence of the King, I have summited. In His presence is glory. Journey on. Embrace God's choice. Step 4. In our nighttime, in the darkness of our nighttime, we have counsel. Verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. So here's the thing. God gives me counsel, but I have to listen to it. I have to listen to it. I'm often busy giving myself counsel. There's God's counsel and Carl's counsel. Now, which counsel is the better counsel? Well, you know and I know. But in the darkness of my night, which ear is listening? Now, if you ask Debbie which of my ears listen, she'll say neither one of them. And that's the problem. I take this thing off, I take this one off, and all of a sudden I don't hear anything. All I hear is my own voice. It reverberates in me. I miss your voice. I miss God's voice. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. What doesn't shake me? Carl's voice? God's voice. God's voice that doesn't shake. That's what allows me to not be shaken. In the darkness of my night, I have to not only recognize God's choice, embrace God's choice, but I have to actually listen and follow His voice. He is at my right hand. We have a longing. We have a hope. We have a longing and a hope for security, for peace, for good things. And our life journey often doesn't sort of follow along everybody's interest level. You can break that down on almost any level. One of the frequent things that's been in the news recently is the struggle that we all face with the economy. So, okay, you're going to go back to the store and you're going to pay 10% more, 20% more, whatever percentage is. And maybe now instead of buying the best thing, you're going to buy something a little bit less so that your same budget stretches a little bit farther. But for those that have been hoping, I'd like to own my own home. You know, the news is sort of full of it. Well, good luck about that. It's not likely. So, what do I do? Does God provide me a place to live? I've counseled and I've watched as one of our residents from our international house has been struggling to find another place to live. I feel the pain of that. The international house has 5 bedrooms, and Jayanta and his wife have been occupying 1 bedroom out of 5, but they're expecting a child. And that doesn't fit in such a tight space anymore. So now they're asking the question, can I find another place? And for months, he knew it was coming. Like, well, you know, there's plenty of places. Well, if you're in Charles Village today, there aren't plenty of places. And he's had to move his sights from here to here to here to here. And now he's thinking, I just need a place to live. And I'll be happy for a place to live. Sometimes God brings us to reality by saying, okay, you want it up here. Rejoice in what I give you. Can I do that? Can you do that? In the darkness of your night, rejoice in what God gives you. Satisfaction. It's not simple. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. Find your fulfillment in what God gives. So step 5, is in our night, we hope. We have to be glad and wait for the dawn of joy. My expectations may be coming down, but there is a moment, there is a time, there is a fulfillment, and that's where the psalmist ends and brings us to conclusion. There is that moment where I recognize all that God has for me, all of it. Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being will rejoice, does rejoice. My flesh dwells secure. My body, my life is secure. For, and here's the reason I am secure, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, to Sheol, however you wish to hear that read. What is it? It's death. It's sometimes described as the state, or the, it's not about the place of death. We're not talking about a spatial location. What we're really talking about, what the psalmist is talking about, is an emotional and a relational state of emptiness. Emptiness. Desolation. Disconnected. Aloneness, inability. Those are the descriptors of death. You may not be dead, but you may feel emotionally, you may feel like all of the things have conspired against you to bring you to a state where you are numb. And that's what the psalmist says. You, O God, will not abandon me to that place of numbness. God will not let me go. He will not let you go. I can struggle with Him in the night of my soul. I can struggle with, do I listen to His voice? Do I listen to my voice? Do I listen to the voices of those that are around me? Whose voice do I listen to? Whose voice will I follow? But what I know in the end is that God will not leave me in the pit of my despair. He will not. The psalmist so says, God so says, you will not abandon my soul. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. Here's a direct reference to the presence of Christ. This was applied to Christ crucified. Yes, he cried out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken on the cross, that you and I might not be forsaken. Christ took the burden. He took the penalty that you wouldn't take it. I wouldn't have to bear it. He bore it. That forsakenness is therefore removed. It's satisfied. God will not forsake you because of Christ in you. Flashlight, battery in you. The battery, the flashlight doesn't work if the battery's not in it. The promise, the hope, is when Christ is in you. When you can claim and you know that you are in Christ. That's where the flashlight analogy breaks down. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. And God will not abandon you in the darkness of your night. Instead, He promises the fullness of joy. Not in the possession of things, not in a new house, not in a new car, not in a better job, none of those things. A new house, a new car, a better job, those are all good things, maybe. But that's not ultimately His promise. His promise is that joy and eternal pleasure are in God's presence. When I am in God's presence, when I have summited the mountain and I see the splendor of who God is, then I have the fullness of this joy. Joy and eternal pleasure are in God's presence. God has put in His hand all of history. And He takes His hand and He puts that hand in all of history. That's a mystery I can't explain. How can history be in His hand and His hand be in history? But there it is. God in us. God in you. The dark night of your soul. Psalmist simply gives you 5 steps. Make Christ your refuge. Recognize God's choice. Listen to God's voice. And be glad and wait for the dawn of day. Let me pray for you. Father, this week we may pass into another dark night. We don't know the rain that's going to fall on us. We don't know the coldness that might set around us. We don't know the isolation that we may feel from broken relationships. We don't know the pain. And we're thankful we don't know it in advance. When it comes, would You be our refuge? Help us to flee to You. To call out to You, Lord God, You are my refuge. Shelter me. In our discussions within our own hearts, help us to hear Your voice, to recognize Your way and to choose that way. And Father, to listen as we follow, that we might receive with thankfulness Your blessing. Come, Father, walk with us this week. Help us to fix our joy upon Your people. We're gathered here today to worship You, to hear Your voice. Now, Father, give to us the joy of being together in this sheltered place, that we might hear Your voice and walk Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together our final song.
Oh, Lord of my heart.
Sometime in the middle of the week, I hope you transition to praying and reading Psalm 19. That's where we're going to be next week. And if you want to pray it with us in Sunday school. Sunday's become a way, a time of being immersed in a psalm. Sunday school, church, our call to worship, it's all gathered around the psalm. So, we just sung of a new vision, a prayer that God would be our vision. We've asked for His light to shine in us, around us, and through us. Receive the blessing of God. May God make known to you the path of life. In His presence, may you experience the fullness of joy. At His right hand, receive pleasure forevermore. Now, this week, evermore. Amen.